Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi to my mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law. Okay, so what I want to do today is I want to do a careful analysis of a fascinating Agadata and Yoma, of a non-halachic portion of the Gemara. Do we have literary people among us? Okay, we're going to do literary analysis here. I want to read through the Gemara and together I want to see what it teaches us about tshuva, but I want you to keep your eyes on the textual, literary style problems that emerge from the simple read of the text. Okay? So that's going to be our goal. Right. Basically, the text we're working with is the first source. 2, 3, and 4 are parallels, which are going to fill out the picture, but really what we're doing is we're carefully reading source number 1. Okay? So, Tana Rabbana. So the rabbi is taught, Ani ve'ashir ve'rasha ba'in ladin. The poor, the rich, and the wicked come to judgment. Now, I note here in the translation that if you look at the Sansino translation, they translate rasha as sensual. Note in a footnote that the text actually means wicked, right? Rasha means a wicked person. That change in translation, keep in mind, because that's going to tip us off to the very glaring textual issue here, the literary style issue, as we go through. Does everyone have sources? We're good? No? Okay.
There's one here. More being passed around. Does everyone have or is sharing? There's one more over here.
Sharing. Okay, we're good. Okay, so before we even continue in the text, though, Ani Ashir Virasha, my poor, rich, and wicked. Literarily, what's the problem with this grouping? Right, which one? Right, the old Sesame Street game. Which one is not like the other? Right, wicked. Why? Right, what's different between rich, poor, and wicked? Right, two of them carry value judgments, right? Don't carry value judgments, rather, and one of them does. Right, so that's going to be important. So now let's continue. So the Gemara says, Le'ani, when the poor person comes to judgment, Omrim lo, they say to him, Mipnei ma lo asakta b'torah, why didn't you study Torah? Or the same question could be asked, why didn't you perform mitzvah? Why weren't you kind enough? What was it about being poor that stopped you from doing the right thing? So Im Omer, if he says, Ani ayiti, I was poor, v'tarud b'mizonotai, and I worried, I was involved with my sustenance, with my parnasa, omrim lo. So they say to him, Klum ani hayita yoter mi Hillel. Were you poorer than Hillel? And then they describe, how poor was Hillel? Right? You think you had it bad, let me tell you what it means to have it bad. Armul olav al Hillel azakein. Hillel once had a case, shebechol yom vayom, every day, haya oseh, mistaker bitarpaik, he would earn one small coin, chetzio haya notein l'shomer ben ha-midrash, half of it he would give to the guard of the study hall to let him in, so that he could study Torah, v'chetzio, and half of it l'parnasato l'parnasat anshei beito. And so 50% of his low salary went to sustenance, 50%, a full 50%, went to allow him to study. Pam achat, once, lo matzal l'histaker, he didn't even make minimum wage. He didn't even get that small coin. So they didn't let him in. So what did he do? Alav v'nitlev yashav al pi aruba kedi shiishma divrei elokim chayim b'pnei shmayav avtalyon. So he climbed up to the roof, onto the sunroof, and leaned over the roof just to hear the shir from Shemaya and Avtalyon, to hear the words of the living God. Now it goes from bad to worst. Amru, what happened? Oto hayom erev Shabbat haya. It was a Friday. Okay, this is already not good, right? He has a few hours till Shabbos. Utkufa tevet haita, and it was tevet. So it was the winter. V'yarad alav shelag min hashamayim. So what happens on a good Friday afternoon in the winter? It snows. So he's there on the roof. listening in. So Kishala Murashachar, right? What happens if he's there listening to Shir and he gets snowed on top? He gets stuck. So if it's evening, no one notices. There's no light coming in anyways. The light coming in is from the candles. But sunrise comes. And normally when the sun comes up, so the room was lit by natural light. This time didn't happen. Amar lo Shemaya l'Avtalion. So Shemaya said to Avtalion, Avtalion achi, my brother. B'chol yom ha-beit meir. Every day it's light. V'ayom ha-fel. And now it's dark. Shema yom ha-me'unanhu. Maybe it's cloudy. And they look up. And hitzitu enehen v'ra'u t'mud ha-dam baruba. No, that's not clouds. That is the silhouette of a person covering the skylight. Alu matzu alav rom shalosh amot shelig. So they went up and they found 6 feet of snow on him. Right, we had this last 2 years ago in Gush Etzion. We had this terrible, terrible storm. There was like three and a half feet of snow, which is not normal for the Middle East. And the wind was terrible, and the drifts were 6 feet. My parents were visiting at that time, and they were literally snowed in. It was Shabbos. I had to get 5 yeshiva guys. We had to push the snow with our bodies and pull them out. Right, 6 feet of snow is a lot of snow. You know, while getting my parents, I sunk right in, right? It was over my head, right? That's 6 feet. I'm not tall, but still, that's a lot of snow. Right, so here he's lying down. Parku. So they pull him out, Verchitzu, they give him a warm bath, Visichu, and they anoint him, Vishivu, Gnegeta Madura, they take him in, they put him by the fireplace in Amru. They said, Ra'ui zel chalel alavet ha-Shabbat. For this one, it's worth violating Shabbos, right? Remember, this was now Shabbos morning. So that's number one. Okay, this got formatted a little bit badly. So the poor person, they say to him, you think that being poor is an excuse? It's not. You're not as poor as Hillel. Okay. So story number one is poor. Again, are there any value judgments about someone being poor? No. There's a recognition that it's hard. Right? Being poor requires you to put in a lot of effort. But they're saying, look, even poorer people manage to do the right thing. You can find time too. That's story one. Ashir Omrimlo, the rich person, they tell him, Mipnei malo asakta b'Torah, why didn't you study Torah? So im omer ashir ayiti, v'tarud ayiti b'nechasai. So if he says, look, I have the opposite problem. I'm the CEO of a huge company. I'm Warren Buffett. I have 50 companies under my umbrella company. Right? You think that the poor person has problems? Okay, he has a harder life, but time-wise, right, I got $50 billion to deal with. Right? I don't have time. So Omrim Lo, so they say to him, Kloma Yita Ashir Yoter Mi Rebbe Elazar, were you richer than Rebbe Elazar? How rich was he? So Omru Alav Elazar Ben Charsom Shaniach Lo Aviv Elef Ayarot Biyabasha Elazar, his father left him 1,000 cities. Ukenegdan Elef Sfinot Bayam, and 1,000 boats. V'chol yom v'yom, and every day, notel note, shel kemach ha'ktefo, mahalach mir le'ir, medina le'medina le'motor. And yet, he was so wealthy. Every day, he would take his little pack of flour, walk from city to city, country to country, didn't matter to study. Pam achat one matzu avadav asu bo'an garia. And once, his servants found him, and they didn't realize who he was, and they seized him for public service. Amar lahen b'vakasha mikem, he said, please, hanichuni ve'elech lo motara, let me go learn. Amar lo chayei Elazar ben Charsom, shem hanichon adcha, we swear by our master, Elazar ben Charsom, who they didn't realize was him, that we won't let you. Miyamav l'holach v'ra'otan el yoshev osik b'tara kol yom v'kala layla. And what's the point of highlighting this? Is that he was their boss, but never seen him, because he didn't care. He had so much money, he really had a lot to do, but you know what, he said, I don't need to be involved. I'll give it to my managers. I'm going to study Torah. So again, somebody who has an excuse, no value judgment. You could be rich and be a good person, rich and be a poor person, but don't use it as an excuse. But now the Gemara says, Rasha Omrim Lo, the wicked person, we say to him, Mipnei ma lo asakta b'Torah, why didn't you study? So he says, Im Omer, if he tells you, Na'agiti, what do you mean? I'm gorgeous. V'tarud b'yitzri, I am involved all day with filling my appetite for sensual pleasures. Omrim lo, we say to him, Klum na'e ayita mi Yosef, were you better looking than Yosef? Amru alav al Yosef atzadik, and they used to say about Yosef, the bechol yom vayom haita ishet potifar mishadalto bidvarim. Every day she would try to seduce him. Begadim shalav shalo shachret olav shalo arvit. She wore different clothes in the morning and night. Begadim shalav shalo arvit olav shalo shachret. Amru alav, when she said to him, Hashmeli, listen to me. Amru alav, love, no. Amru alav, hareini chovash decha beveid ha'isur, and I'll put you in jail. Amar Lanj, he said to her, Hashem matir asurim, God will free the people in prison. Hareini kofefet komatcha, I'll crush you physically. Hashem zokev kifufim, Hashem straightens the bent. Hareini misamei eneinach, I'll blind you. Hashem bikeach evrim, I don't care, Hashem can make the blind see. Not nalo elef kikare kesef, she gave him 1,000 talents of silver, lishmoela, lishkovetzla, lihiot imat, to sleep with her, veloratza lishmoela, and he didn't want. He didn't agree. Lishkovetz la, to be with her b'olam hazeh, in this world, liyodi ma'olam haba, nimtza. So you find Hillel mechayev et ha'aniyim. Hillel's commitment to Torah acts as a defense against the excuses of the poor. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsov mechayev et ha'ishirim, and Rabbi Elazar for the wealthy, Yosef mechayev et ha'rishayim. So let's go back to the translation for a minute. The Sansinos translation tries to remove the glaring difficulty here and say, Rasha doesn't mean Rasha. Rasha means sensual. Meaning there is no, there's a direct literary parallelism. The rich, the poor, and the good-looking or the sensual, each of them have challenges in life. And we say, we understand you have challenges, but people had greater challenges. That's not an excuse. But that's not actually how the Gemara is translated, right? As we said, Rasha means, Rasha is wicked. So there is not a parallelism here, right? Rich, poor, no value judgment, just someone with difficulty. And Rasha, there's a value judgment embedded. And you look at the Gemara is strange. We say to the wicked person, right, listen to this excuse. Why didn't you learn Torah? So I understand, the poor person, I needed money. I was starving. The rich person, I was busy. The wicked person, I was sinning. That's not an excuse. What does that mean? Who would ever think that an excuse, why didn't you do the right thing? What do you mean? I was busy sinning. When did I have time to do mitzvot? Right? That, how is that parallel? That's not, no one would even think that's an excuse. So, agarata, the key to understanding, understanding it, is to find what doesn't belong. Here, what doesn't belong is glaring. What doesn't belong is case number 3. So, what is the Gemara getting at? Right? Why does the Gemara create this purposely out of place parallelism? Right? This not parallel, seeming parallelism. Ideas? Sorry, names?
Leah.
It is an excuse that people use. And the way they'll phrase it is, I'm not that frum, I'm not that good, I'm not that kind of person. You know, if you ask them, why don't you spend time learning, they say, that's not me.
Okay? Right, so
people do use that excuse. The Russia excuse does get used. Just like the poor excuse gets used and the rich excuse gets used.
Right, so one possibility is to say, you know what, it's true, it's not a good excuse, but people use it and the Gemara is responding to what people say. And I think definitely that's going to be the key, is that the Gemara isn't making an objective statement, it is responding to what people say. Any other formulations of what it is that it's responding to? What psychological assumption? Yes, name. Good. Right. Yosef is definitely the paradigm. But let's just flesh it out a little bit. But the person in question, this Rasha, right, what does he imply by calling himself a Rasha that he couldn't, that it was inevitable?
Lo kovesh et yitzro, basically.
Right, that he couldn't. Right. So now if we come back, I think this is the key. Right, is that objective onlookers, we're looking at the Gemara and we see a lack of parallelism. Right? Rich, poor, not your fault. But evil is your choice. But people don't always view it that way. Because people sometimes say, well, it wasn't a choice. Right? I have a Yetzer Hara. That's who I am. That is out of my control the way being poor or being rich is. But that's not right. Someone who has the desire to do wrong is not evil. But what prevents them from doing tshuva? And this is what you said. What prevents people who have that inclination from doing tshuva? That they?
Rationalize.
They, how do they rationalize it? They think. Exactly. Right? They say, this isn't a choice. It's who I am. So I think what the Gemara is doing is creating this jarring lack of parallelism to remind us that logically we all know that being evil is a choice. But we don't always experience it that way. Sometimes we say, look, what do you want from me? I'm rich, I'm poor, I have a Yetzer Hara. And you know what? The fact that I have the desire to do wrong means I'm a lost cause. So what do you want from me? But that's wrong. And that lack of parallelism, when we actually examine it, is simply fallacious. Rich, poor, healthy, sick, not in our control. Evil is a choice. Just because we have the desire to be evil doesn't mean that we are. Yes?
What about the other number four?
Okay, the next sources.
No, number four, which you have not included. You've got the rich, you've got the poor, you've got the wicked, sexual, whatever. But what about the one who is, who has the guise of good, the guise of supposedly learning Torah, but really chooses evil, but rationalizes and does not believe themselves to be evil, even though they do evil.
Right, so that's... Right, so that's definitely another category which this Gemara doesn't deal with. There are other Gemara which deal with people who are either hypocrites, they know they're not good, or people who lie to themselves. Right, that's yet another case. Here we're talking about people who are trying to be honest with themselves, but you're right. There's definitely yet a fourth category, and we could create fifth and sixth categories. You're definitely right. That's not in this Gemara, but you're right. That's yet another category. Now, just to draw the irony here home, several people mentioned this, right? Yosef, right, the paradigm here that responds to the wicked person, how is he commonly known in Midrashic literature as? Yosef HaTzadik. Why?
Because he resisted.
Look at source 2, for example. Nikra Shmol Shem Maaseh Yosef HaTzadik Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elai Shema Yosef Shetziviti Valaznut Velo Shema Adonato Shaitan Befateoto. He was called by this name, Yosef the Righteous One, because he listened to me and conquered his Yetzer Hara. So, there's a second level of irony here, which is not just that just because you have desire doesn't make you evil. But furthermore, anyone who knows Midrashic literature knows that it's not just that having desire doesn't make you evil. What defines you as a tzaddik? Having desire and conquering it. So here we have this person who is the Rasha because he thinks that his very desire to do evil makes him a Rasha. It's a lost cause. But who's he contrasted with? The person who's defined as the tzaddik, he's known as the tzaddik because he had the desire and conquered it. So there's a second level of irony, is that he thinks that pure desire makes him evil, when no, Chazal's conception is that having desire and conquering it is the paradigm of goodness. So that which he thinks makes him a lost cause is that which gives him the ability to be a tzaddik. If you look at source 4, it's not just that the Gemara contrasts him with Yosef, but in other places the Midrash explicitly teaches us that Yosef is meant to be the paradigm to teach us this lesson. So if you look Source 4 is, in Avot Derabbi Natan, it's the continuation of the first story we saw, right? The Gemara in Yoma is copied and pasted into Avot Derabbi Natan, but in Avot Derabbi Natan, there's an addition. Ve'al titma'al Yosef HaTzadik. Don't be surprised by Yosef, the righteous one. Sha'arei Rabbi Tzadok haya gadol hador. Because Rabbi Tzadok was a great one in the generation, Kinishbelu Romi, when he was captured. And he was sent to Rome. Natalto matronita achat v'shagro shivcha achat yafa. He was sent to the house of a noblewoman, and she sent him a maidservant to do what he would do. Right? This was somewhat common in Rome. Kalin Sharauta, when he saw her, Natanina Bakotel, he turned to the wall, Shlo Yiranas, you wouldn't see her, Yoshev, Yoshan, Vishone Kola Laila, and he learned Torah all night. The Shachrit in the morning, Halchavik Bilai Tel Gevirta. So she went to her master, Amrallah, and she said, Shaveli Hamavet, Mishatinili Shazeh, I'd rather die than go back to that man. Shalchavik Haralo, so the noblewoman sent him and said, Amrallah, Mibne Malosita, Mishazot, Kitarach Shiasu Bne Adam. Why didn't you do what everybody else does? Amrallah, Maese. What am I supposed to do? Mikuna gedolani, mishpacha gedolani. I'm from the family of the high priest, from a great family. Ani amarti shema voileha v'yerbeiti mamzerim b'Israel. What am I going to do? I'm going to sin. I'm going to create mamzerim. Kevan sheshama dvarav. Once she heard sifta lavu fatarta v'chavad gadol, she's like, you are a special person. You go free with honors. But the Gemara says, where did he learn this power from? From
Yosef.
So it's not just that there's a lack of parallelism in the Gemara to begin with. That this person who has desires thinks he's evil, but he's not yet. And it's not just that he's contrasted with Yosef, who teaches us that the definition of being a tzaddik is not someone who lacks desire to sin, but someone who has it and conquers it. But Yosef is understood to teach that lesson to everybody, such that Rabbi Tzadok is seen as having been able to conquer his own desire, because he learned the lesson from Yosef. So the Gemara, by setting up this lack of parallelism, drives home that not only is having the desire to sin not inevitable, it's not like being rich or poor. Being evil is a choice. You think it's not, but it is. It's more than that. Having desire to sin and conquering it is not a lesser level. That is what makes you righteous. And it's not just that Yosef is an example. He's meant to teach you that. Look at Yosef. Look how hard he had it. And he conquered it. And that's why he is HaTzadik. You could have been that too. Why did you give up on yourself? There's yet one more irony here. Two more ironies that further expand the lesson. I won't read Source 3 in time because we're running short on time. I'll read one line of it. While I've expanded this to all mitzvot, and I think the lesson is true for all mitzvot, the Gemara's example is what? Torah. Right? Why didn't you learn Torah? That's what we're talking about. The Gemara in Kiddushin 30b, right, Lamed Amud Bet, the source 3, says that Torah has a special power to it. Tanu Rabbanan, v'samtem. We say, and you shall place the words of Torah in your mouth. So we read that b'derech drush, homiletically, as samtam. It's the perfect remedy. Which means, I'll just read the English. This may be compared to a man who has struck his son a strong blow and then put a plaster on his wound, saying to him, my son, as long as this plaster is on your wound, as long as this band-aid is on, you can eat and drink at will and bathe in hot or cold water without fear. But if you remove it, it will break out into sores. Even so did the Holy One, blessed be He, speak to Israel. My children, I created the evil desire, but I also created the Torah as its antidote. If you occupy yourselves with the Torah, you will be delivered into it. You will not be delivered into his hand, for it is said, if you do well, shall you not be exalted, but if you do not occupy yourselves with the Torah, you shall be delivered into his hand, for it is written, sin crouches at the door. Moreover, he is altogether preoccupied with you to make you sin, for it is said, and unto you shall be his desire. Yet if you wish, thou can rule over him, for it is said, and you shall rule over him. So the Gemara says that Talmud Torah is the key. And at some level this makes sense. Doing mitzvot is nice, but if we want to change who we are, We need to open our ears and our hearts to the messages of the Torah, because that's what's going to help us not just do more good, but realize where we have to change. Torah is the antidote. So if you come back to the Gemara, it's even more ironic. The guy is saying, I couldn't learn Torah because I was evil. I was overcome by my desire. But the Gemara is saying, but wait, what is it that is going to help you overcome? Torah. So you're using your desire as an excuse to not seek out that which could help you? That's even worse. And if we say, I don't have time to think about tshuva because I'm so occupied with my averot, I just can't take a few minutes to sit down and do a cheshbon hanefesh, take an accounting of my life, right? It's not just a bad excuse. You can't say, oh, I was inevitably going to sin because I was so occupied in sin I didn't have time to try to fix myself. That doesn't make any sense. So it's not just that the guy is saying, oh, I didn't have time because I was evil. It's, I didn't have time to spend time making myself better. That's why I didn't have time to learn. What do you mean? If you had found 5 minutes, you would have realized that there was hope for you. It's because you already gave up on yourself that you didn't realize that the remedy was at hand. Opening your hearts to the messages of the Torah would have told you that you're not a lost cause. I'll add one last irony, just because I like doing this literary analysis. There's another midrash I didn't put because we can figure out ourselves. In the Gemara, Yosef is the paradigm of the person who conquered his Yetzer Hara. But really, really, let's think about Yosef's life. If I wanted to, I could have written the Gemara as follows. Ani, the poor person, what do you say to him? Were you poorer than Yosef? He was a slave. The rich person, were you richer than Yosef? He was viceroy. The Rasha, did you have more challenges than Yosef? He had Eshet Potiphar. So really, while the Gemara brings three examples, it could have really brought one. And the amazing thing about Yosef, by ending the Midrash with Yosef, is not just that we each have our own challenges, is that we have different challenges at different points in life. Sometimes we're too busy because things are going well. Right? We're lucky. We have several children, we have a good job, so we're busy at work and we're busy with good things. And we say, look, everything's good, but I don't have time to do mitzvot. Life is great. Sometimes we have hardship. Sometimes we're overcome by our Yetzer Hara. All of that is wrapped up in the same person. But Yosef succeeded in all three. He wasn't just a paradigm for one. He's a paradigm for all. So now if we take everything together, I think this Gemara is a very powerful message for this time of year, which is, we all have challenges. Some of them we understand are challenges, but are not part of our personality. Rich, poor, healthy, sick, busy, tired. Those don't have value judgments. So those, okay, we're willing to say, look, we know it's hard, but you can do it. Sometimes we have, you know, we think we've conquered one challenge, right? Yosef was great when he was poor. I got that challenge down, but then I'm rich, right? We're used to one challenge, we get a new one, and we think, okay, I figured out how to deal with the old one. I don't know how to deal with the new one. You can deal with all of them. Sometimes, even worse, we give up on ourselves, and we say, you know what? It's not just that I'm busy. I'm just a bad person. I just can't do it even if I wanted to. If I had the time, it wouldn't work. To that, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Having the desire to do evil isn't what makes you evil, it's succumbing. If you can overcome that, that's what makes you the paradigm of a tzaddik. Yosef wasn't a Rasha who happened to do good. He was someone who wanted to do evil and did it, which made him a tzaddik. And you can do it too. Furthermore, in the Gemara's case, he uses his evil as an excuse to not study Torah. We say, what do you mean? Torah is the antidote. If only you would listen to the messages, you could save yourself. Really? You're going to give up on yourself so much that you're going to say that I don't even have time to try? Try. Try. That which you think you don't have time for, you don't have time to sit down and try to internalize the messages that you know are true. If you took 5 minutes and you had faith in yourself, it's like magic. What you don't think you can do, You take the time, you can. So the Gemara wraps it all up in Yosef and says there is no excuse. I don't care if you're poor, I don't care if you're rich, I don't care if you think you're evil, you're not. Those aren't parallel. It's hard to be rich, it's hard to be poor, and you can overcome that. But being evil is not parallel. You have a choice, you always have a choice. What makes you who you are is the choices you make. And here you can quote a whole bunch of great sources. I like quoting Harry Potter. But right, there's a wonderful scene where Harry realizes that he's taken in some of the powers of Voldemort. For anyone who knows the Harry Potter series, right? He's been cursed by Voldemort and taken in some of his powers. And he turns to Dumbledore and he says, "Does this make me evil?" And he turns to him and he says, "Harry, we are not defined by the powers we have, but by the choices we make, by who we choose to become. It doesn't matter if you have built into you the power of Voldemort. If you choose to, be Harry instead of Voldemort, then you are the hero of the story and not the villain." And that's the message of the Gemara, that never give up on yourself, because if you take the time and you realize there's hope, and you take the time to internalize the messages, and the messages we know to be true, then we will overcome. And that's why, as I entitled the shiur, right, why there are no excuses, because we all know that if we just take the time, we're honest with ourselves, and we put in the effort, we have the ability to improve ourselves. Ksiva v'chasima tova, to have a meaningful year.
Basically, we all have bechira.
We all have bechira, and we can never forget that.
One other last question.
Yes.
Is Yosef HaTzadik the only example in the Tanakh where someone has overcome,
It's the most clear, yeah.
But there's no other examples you can give me, basically.
No, not in that way, no. Yes. Okay. Ksiva chasima tova, shana tova.